Hi friends, welcome to the Universal Sisterhood podcast. We're hoping to create a place where women can delve deeper, lift their gaze higher, live freer, laugh louder, smile brighter, and be the authentic woman they were designed to be. Every human heart is created to be known, loved, and understood. So this is the place where women can share their stories. Welcome to episode 16. Today on the podcast, we're talking all things Advent and Christmas. You will love Janet as much as I do. She is a joy, just like Christmas. She's Christmas in a person, really. But we talk about the joy of Advent, anticipation and waiting, family time, traditions, and more importantly, the jilting truth that Jesus chose to come to us in an imperfect world. His Christmas story, the story of Christmas, should really bring us so much comfort in knowing that Jesus wants to come into the messiness of our lives, just as they are today, now, not when we've fixed them up or we've perfected them or we've airbrushed them, but just as they are in their crappiness. He is the light of the world and he's coming, and he wants to come into our darkest places to illuminate them, to free us. He is a saviour. He wants to save us. And I just hope from this episode you get a few ideas, and that your homes and your hearts are ready to greet him when he comes on Christmas morning. So have a listen. Enjoy and have a wonderful Christmas.
Hello.
Okay, we're there now.
We're all together. Only took 45 minutes. Welcome to the podcast, ladies.
Thanks, Jess. Thank you.
So, Janet, we know Olivia. So, Janet, could you just introduce yourself?
Well, I...
I'm echoing, I can hear.
Yeah, we'll just try and talk slowly so we don't have to get confused with that.
I'll go into another room.
Yeah.
So my name's Janet and I have 9 beautiful children, 10 if you include one little one that's waiting for me in heaven one day to have a little cuddle.
We'll include him or her, for sure.
I'm married to Ian, it's just a delight to talk to you, Jess, because, you know, there's nothing that makes my heart bubble more than the thought of anticipating Christmas. Yeah. I just love it.
I've been seeing your Facebook posts. That's why I thought you would be the perfect person. I think you've had Michael Blueblay on defrost since was it September?
Well, see, the funny thing is that, I'm married to a wonderful man but seriously, Ian, you know, if he goes into the shopping centre in September or October and he sees, all the decorations starting to go up, he'll come home and he'll grumble and he says, oh, it's only October and, you know, but so I have to really bite my tongue because I just... Look at the decorations.
It's never too early.
And my heart skips a beat and I just think, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you, another Christmas.
It is such a beautiful time of year.
Mm. I've got to say, Janet turned up to my house this afternoon with 2 Christmas mugs for our coffee.
Perfect.
And I did everything. I've got a Christmas bag and it jingles. And you know what? I've even got a Christmas apron in that bag just in case we needed help anticipating the the subject material.
That's so beautiful. So I wanted to start it with a quote from Pope Benedict, and he says, "It is the beautiful task of Advent to awaken in all of us memories of goodness and thus to open doors of hope." And I wanted to kind of throw it around this context of anticipating and hope and what Advent means to all of us. Mm. So, Janet, would you like to start?
Oh, well, look, I just think that Hope Benedict has so many pearls of wisdom for all of us. And I haven't got a copy of that quote in front of me. I meant to have it by the time we started recording, but if I start looking for it now, I know that I'll waste a whole lot of time. But you know,
I can read it again if you want.
Go on, read it slowly for everyone's sake.
It is the beautiful task of Advent to awaken in all of us memories of goodness and thus to open doors of hope. I just thought goodness and hope, I mean, that is kind of the essence of Christmas, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I think Pope Benedict said this one as well, that everything that is good and everything that is true and everything that is beautiful will lead us to God. Mm. And so, you know, when we think about anticipating Christmas and that tiny, tiny, vulnerable little baby that was, you know, born in a manger all those years ago, how can you think of anything else but goodness, you know, in something that is so beautiful? So, it's such a beautiful time, Advent, and yeah, it's my favourite time of the year. I know I'm gushing. I'm sorry. I just
gorgeous. I can't get a word in.
Sorry, Liv. You've set me in a room, Liv. Though I'm sitting and looking at your beautiful Christmas tree, and I'm smelling it. You know, all the senses. You know, I think
are awakened.
You know, they're awakened. Yes, you know, I can. You know, I've got little flashing lights, and I can just ever so subtly smell the pine needles. And of course, the beauty. Liv just decorates.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Olivia, immaculate.
Can you shoot me some of those photos, and I'll put them up on the Instagram page because you do Christmas very well.
Oh, so pretty. Yeah, so beautiful.
Olivia, how do you see Advent?
Well, I have to say that, you know, I try and keep the perspective of the real meaning of Christmas, as we all do, but it is easy to get wrapped up in the hype of
no pun intended.
Yeah, true. But I'm like Janet, I usually have my tree up in October. My crib always takes centre stage at home, so I have a beautiful crib and it's all lit up and it has the best position in the house. But I also, I've got to say, I do love the magic of Santa Claus.
Oh, me too.
I just think that, you know, children these days, there's so much technology and so much distraction and they've lost that ability to imagine and, you know, the awe and wonder.
Yes.
That we had as children. I think they've lost that a bit. So I know a lot of people don't do the Santa thing. I definitely do. I even do it for myself that comes every night to our home.
Oh, Liv, I love it. You know, when I was trying to prepare for this lovely conversation with such beautiful ladies, I was thinking about what I would share with everyone, and I was trying to, you know, I found that I was trying to think of what everyone would want to hear, but the truth of the matter is that I love the secular side of Christmas as well. And I think if your heart is truly grounded in that little stable in the right place, then the beauty of all of the, you know, the over the top Christmas lights on people's houses and you know, I think that there's a great deal of generosity even in that. Even if they don't know our Lord and they decorate their homes and it's full of rears and tears and Michael Bublé.
And Mariah gets a beating too in her worship. They're beating. I mean, a good go.
I think that's
so true, Jen. Yeah. Everyone, you know, even without Jesus at the heart of it, those people are still trying to create a beautiful, joyful, hopeful environment for all.
Doesn't he say Advent awakens in all of us the memories of goodness?
And that, yes.
We all, it's innate in us. Yeah. And even if we don't realise it and he's not the centre of our life.
Yeah.
It's there. It is there. And it is awakened. I just think it's so special.
Oh, it's beautiful. And the thing is that even when these people that don't really know our Lord, when they embrace the Christmas spirit, that there is a goodness that there's the ability to reach out and be good, even if you don't really understand why. But I guess it does put, you know, for us that do know, you know, why Christmas is just such a wonderful time of the year, it's a responsibility for us to really to look
to
through
that, bearing that light of
bearing that light. So, you know, there's so much opportunity for us to love others and to, you know, I've gone through Advents and Christmas seasons year after year after year, and there are some traditions that I am so strict about, and I just couldn't imagine, you know, if they didn't happen, it just wouldn't be Christmas. It just wouldn't. But then
tell us some of your traditions.
Look, there are some things that we have to do in our house. So, I mean, and this is aside from the decorating of the tree is a big thing. So getting the tree out and I have to have my bubbles. So I have some champagne.
I was going to say, as in buble or as in the beverage?
Bauble, buble or bubbles?
All of them.
All three. So, I mean, I need to. So when we decorate the tree, I mean, some of the bigger boys are not quite
as enthusiastic.
So, they're not quite so hands-on. But you know what? If our routine didn't happen,
if it was a missing,
they would be looking for it because you know, and I mean, we've got the 9 children, and the age range stretches from 23 down to 8, and those little, you know, Santa has been kind and generous enough to visit our home until the children leave school. So, you know, so Christmas Eve, we decorate the tree all together. And so that's picture me sitting in a chair with my champagne glass next to me. we've got chips and nuts and cheese and all sorts of things out. I've got the music playing, and we've got the boxes down from the shed off, you know, sitting next to me. And I sit there, and they all come to me, and I hand out the decorations, and we give directions. There's a little gap there, and there's a gap there, and, you know, and it's all very systematic. And
I bet it brings a big smile on your face.
Oh, I love it. I just love it.
That's so beautiful. Well, we have a fresh tree, and every year Patrick takes 2 children to cut the tree. I've never actually been to the Christmas tree farm because
sure.
So I like the fact that he does that with them. That is their thing with their dad.
Yes.
And then they bring it home, and I have the task of getting it inside, which I don't. There's a lot of heated words.
No Christmas spirit.
No, but I have to keep constantly correcting myself, like being on top of it, because it's awful. They sting me. I get sap on me. There's always spiders in there, or once we had a frog.
Oh, that's all not very romantic, is it?
No, wait for it. It gets better.
Oh, no.
No, but then once it's there, and then we're all as a family put all the decorations on, I've got, the kids have music playing, and it's collaborative, it's fam, it's togetherness, and I think it brings everybody together, and I think that's really important.
Yeah. I had to laugh this year, Janet, you were saying that the big boys are not as into it.
Yep.
And I noticed with my boys this year too, you know, the same thing, the champagne and the music playing, and
I knew we were good friends.
The 2 little ones and myself were running around in circles with the lights around the tree. And I looked over and I noticed both the big boys on their phones videoing it and uploading it onto Snapchat. I thought,
really?
Times have changed. I'm going live doing the Christmas.
But you know what? You know what? There's a little whisper of love in that, Liv. You know, they think
you can see it.
Well, they obviously thought that was worth videoing. A snapshot of a moment in their traditions that, you know, they weren't ashamed to share that with their friends. So there's goodness there.
Yeah. I may or may not have sort of shut them down and told them to pick up a ball.
Beautiful.
So I wanted to really pull apart or reflect on the actual Christmas story, because everybody knows it. But the details that are in the story really are telling us something, and I think we really need to look at them and see what's being said and how our hearts are responding to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just last night thinking before today, what kind of details are in the story that we know from childhood, that Jesus could have come into the world in any way. You know, he could have come down on a, you know, choir of angels on a cloud, but he chose to be born in a stable in the pitch black of night, in the piercing cold, as a vulnerable baby.
Yes.
And that with smelly animals and the messiness of the stable and
being all completely dependent on his mum. Completely.
And I thought, what is that telling us? Like, he's actually not waiting for us to be perfect, if we could ever be perfect, but he will encounter us in that messy state of life. He wants to come to us when we are like a stable. We all are stables.
Mm.
I've got probably the most crap and hay and, you know, but that's where he wants to be there. And I think we're so frightened of letting him in there. Am I alone in feeling that way?
Do you want to go, Liv?
No, go, tell me.
Look, I just think that if any of us wait to be perfect and to have the perfect place for our Lord to be born, we're never going to be ready for him. So it's you know, we can, you know, like the wise men that traveled from a long way, you know, there's a lot of journeying that has to happen, but it's not going to happen if we don't say yes.
Also if we don't look up, like they were looking for a sign.
Yes, yes.
Whereas we're always looking downwards, looking in on ourselves. And
yes, you know, that's such a beautiful analogy, Jess, because, you know, I can, you know, and our life, our family's lives have been turned upside down just in the last month, and we are selling our home and we're looking to move to Albury, and there's a great deal of trust that has been required of me and of everyone in our family. And, you know, our children have been so unbelievably courageous. But they completely trust that Ian and I will provide them with a home. And I think about everything we haven't sold our house here yet, at our next place. So in some ways while I've been praying early on a morning, I've had to try and put aside my worry and just completely surrender to our Lord and say, you know, I feel really privileged that as we're anticipating Christmas, that he's allowing me to enter in to the Christmas story in a new way this year, because like Mary and Joseph, they didn't know exactly where they were going. Oh, well, they knew the city that they were travelling to, but they did not know where they were going to stay.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. You're making me teary.
I was going to say, oh. I've got a little tear here in my
Oh, girls.
But you know, Janet, it's not easy to trust like that.
It's not, no.
So that's a big leap of faith.
Don't for a second think that I find this easy. This is a daily, you know, such a roller coaster. And daily I'm thinking, oh, today, yep. Lord, today.
Yeah.
It's like I don't know whether, because I've recorded so many podcasts, I don't know. Oh. They're not all up yet, and I don't know whether I've said this on podcast.
On air already?
Yeah. But I, someone was saying, I've been doing this Advent prayer group, which I have never done before. So I'm taking Advent quite seriously this year, which I never have done. I mean, Jesus is the centre. I've always had him at the centre of Christmas, but I've never actually done anything for myself. Anyway, I belong to this Advent prayer group, which has been so good for me. Just all sorts of people that I have never met before. And one of them, I forgot where I'm going with this. Oh, that's right. She, we were talking about Jesus being the author of life, and I heard on a podcast that, you know, we always want to take the pen off him. Where I was like, no, let me finish the ending. I'll write a better ending. But if we just leave him with the pen in his hand, he is the author of life. And he will write the perfect ending.
Oh, yes. And so much more beautiful and exciting
than we could ever imagine.
We can't imagine. So but it does take a daily surrender. And Jess, you know, the thing is that you know, you said that you're trying to take Advent more seriously this year, and you've taken a an Advent group, and you know, I can guarantee that if we just do the slightest little bit extra in order to get closer to our Lord, that he will bless us abundantly, more than we could ever dream. And, you know, we're all looking for that welling up of peace. You know, that's what we're all searching for.
I like your ramblings. That's fine. You're more than allowed to ramble on here.
When Janet walked in with the Christmas mugs, the first thing she said to me was, "You look very tired." And now that I've had to change rooms and I'm lying on my bed,
So if we don't hear from you, Liv, is that because you've fallen asleep?
Not at all. Oh, dear. I am listening.
You know what, Liv, isn't that if you're so tired, and I could see that you did look tired, and you're always so generous with your time, and you always say yes if you ever can say yes. But, you know, that tiredness, another way that we can enter, you know, that's another gift that we can, with the right frame of mind, we can think, oh, Mary, you must have been so tired. You must have been so tired, all that journeying on the donkey.
Can you imagine being on a donkey? I think of that. How uncomfortable would that have been?
Look, you know, this year, you know, I've been on quite a faith journey this year as well. So I look back and I think that my whole 12 months has been like a complete Advent season that's lasted that long. But, you know, I think there is a rumbling, and our Lord is really calling us as mums, especially, to be able to, you know, we often think of, I often think that I'm responsible for making all of my children and all of my family enter into the true Christmas spirit. But I think we've got to really start with our own hearts you know, and prepare that space. And it's got to be a deliberate, intentional thing. It doesn't just happen by accident, because our Lord is no matter where we turn, he is there waiting for us. And we just need to stop long enough to look him in the eyes and say, oh, you're already here. And, you know, there's just, it just takes, but it does take a deliberate a deliberate stopping to meet him.
Well, I think too, you know, I always use the excuse, I'm just so busy.
And doesn't Christmas get busy? It really does get busy.
It does, but we also fill our time, you know, those little gaps in our day that could be spent in prayer. We do fill it with Facebook and
Instagram scrolling through this and pasting things that make us look like we've got it all together.
I'll never forget one day I was with one of my best friends. She's Seventh-day Adventist, and I was saying goodbye to her, and she was getting in the car, and she said, "Oh, I've got to read you this." And she opened the door, and in the pocket of her door was a Bible, and she just read something from it. And I think that was a couple of years ago, and I've never forgotten that. I thought, wow, and you know, in the car line at school or whatever, she just gets it out and you know, has a read. And I thought, gosh, I fill my day with rubbish compared to her.
Yeah, you know,
I try, like, and it is, putting aside, you know, making excuses, Advent is busy. Particularly when you've got lots of children, there's lots of end of year things. So I for the last couple of years, on top of my elf on the shelf guy, my elf that comes every night.
Thank you, Olivia, the bane of my existence through Advent.
I'm in my sixth or seventh year of it, and yeah, I curse myself nightly during Advent as he's doing something naughty at midnight. But I also try and do, I wrap 24 presents at the start of Advent, and then the children get to open, just, you know, one of the children gets to open a present a day. But they're not like gifts as such, but they're it literally keeps me on track for Advent. So one day we might have, you know, a pack of cards, a pack of, you know, cards as a family. Or another day it might just be a note that says we're going into the cathedral to see the Christmas lights. Or it's an activity usually that we do together, just to hold that meaning of family and Christ, to be Christ-focused. And this year I read something the other day, and I've added it to my Advent calendar, and I think it is a beautiful idea. Because we do, you know, sometimes I'll wrap up puppets and I'll do a puppet show or whatever.
How are you big boys with the puppet show?
Yeah, they don't. Yep, they'll be filming on the sideline. And last year we did Random Acts of Christmas Kindness, where we wrote lots of little cards and popped in, you know, a couple of dollars into each one, or a candy cane or something, and we wrote, "You've been racked, Random Act of Christmas Kindness."
Oh, okay.
And just went to the local shops and put it on windscreens and things like that. But, the other day I read that a nice idea is to write to missionaries overseas, because often they can't get home for Christmas. And they said, you wouldn't understand how much joy a letter from the outside world brings them when they can't get home. And so I've added that to my Advent activity. So whether it's writing to a missionary, which I think is beautiful because they've got their Christ focus, but even, like, you know, to the someone in the armed forces, or, you know, protecting us offshore or whatever, just to write. I just think for the children to see the bigger picture, to give of themselves, even if it's at a nursing home, singing Christmas carols, you know, taking a meal to an older friend or whatever,
bringing them that joy and that goodness that Pope Benedict spoke about. We have a crib, and in our Advent calendar we have an act of kindness that they have to do, and a piece of, well, it's string, but it's meant to be straw. And so every day each child gets to place a piece of straw, so that by the 24th of December, Jesus has a soft landing, a nice place to rest his head.
So they put the straw in the crib each day.
Yes.
So, and then do you have a baby Jesus that you put in the crib on Christmas?
Yes.
Yeah.
Except for he's missing a few fingers this year. Thanks to my son. And I just thought it kind of centers their heart. It gives them something to, they have to do an act of kindness before they can actually give Jesus's crib the string. It's just that funny. It's kind of preparing their heart and our home to receive Jesus.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I had to laugh, Janet. Janet and I have a mutual friend, Liz, and on Facebook, here's my distraction.
Yeah.
On Facebook this morning, Liz has quite a lot of little children, and she said, oh, I was in the kitchen and out of the corner of my eye, I had a look at the crib. And there are a few extra people, and she's taken a photo. And amongst the holy family, there's a Peppa Pig and a Darth Vader.
That shows the dynamics in her home.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's so funny. Well, you know, I've got very fond memories of my bigger children when they were little. You know, all of us mums of bigger families, and I'm talking about more than three children, they you know, there was a time when they were all quite little, and you know, our Christmas tree was a little bit more haphazard, I guess, in those days, because things would come off and things would go back on again. And but we
there was a playpen around it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Or the decorations only started from midway up.
That's right. That's right. It looks bedraggled by the time you're a week into Advent. But we have a little Fisher Price nativity that we've had underneath, and it was the best find I ever found. You know, because it meant that the children could play with the nativity, and we also had a Christmas train that goes around the bottom of our tree, and we also have like a Fisher Price little Santa and reindeers. But so we would have a great deal of interaction with Santa and these reindeers visiting the nativity via steam train. And but you know, I think that it's a very Ignatian way of praying. So even though it's not physically starting with the sign of the cross and finishing with amen, it's the children are able to enter in to that little nativity scene. And I think that we can't underestimate that tactile. I mean, my children are getting bigger now, but they still delight in having the nativity Fisher Price nativity and the train underneath, and you know, it just brings out the child in a lot of them. And I think we really, I mean, that's what our Lord wants us to have, is that childlike acceptance and that childlike wonder at Christmas time, especially. You know, like
I find the three wise men and the shepherd boys, and like they change position every day. Like they're on a different walk. I know someone that used to, they walked the wise men. So they at the beginning of Advent, they'd be on one side of the room, and then every day they'd be a step closer. I thought that was a nice idea.
Yeah. Look, any of those visual or, you know, those tactile kind of reminders, I think they can be really helpful in our children really understanding.
I've been using this book, The Unwrapping the Greatest Gift by Anne Voskamp. It's a family celebration of Christmas, and she goes through every day with a reading and some questions and just like a little story. It's really beautiful. And I heard it on Abiding Together podcast, so I went down to Coorong and bought it, and they're like, I think they were caught in that rainstorm we had last week.
Oh yes.
So they're a little bit ruined, but they're only $15 from 29.
Oh, where's Coorong? Where is that?
There's one out at Penrith. I don't know where the other one is. There is another one. But get a copy. It's a hard book.
Can you buy it online?
I don't know. Probably, but you probably wouldn't have the water damaged ones.
Yeah.
But they're not very, they're not bad. Like some of the pages are a little bit crinkly, but that's it.
Yeah. And is that something you can use year after year?
Yes.
And
it's a big coffee book, coffee table book. It's beautiful.
Oh, okay.
I'll take a photo and put it on the Instagram.
Yeah.
Just to show you. It's so lovely. And my kids have actually loved it. Are we reading the story again tonight? Yep.
Yeah.
That's last thing I want to do. But yes, of course.
My father-in-law gave me a book years and years ago of the different traditions in different countries. Christmas traditions, yeah. And that's beautiful too. You know, at Christmas it always comes out and we have a read each night of a different
kind. That's lovely. So I just wanted to finish off our talk about Advent is the anticipation of birthing something. So Jesus is being birthed, but what does he want to birth in us? That was just my final thought. Does he want to birth a dream that we have or a vision that we have? Does he want to birth forgiveness? Like, do we have to forgive somebody this Advent? Or does he want to birth the ability to trust him more? And I think we kind of have to, it's in that waiting, in that silence, in that quiet that we will hear what he wants to birth in us. And I just thought that was a nice question to leave our listeners with.
Well, it's a beautiful question, but it's also something that we could encourage our children to do, like to give a special gift to Jesus on his birthday from them, whether that's the gift of forgiveness for whatever reason towards another person,
sibling,
or you know, a promise to God for the next year, like to give Jesus something on his birthday from each of the children. That's a nice.
Yeah. And the fact that his things can go wrong in life, and they do go wrong, but to let Jesus pull us up out of that and restore us, and let him say to us, welcome home, because he is our family, and he was born a saviour, and he will save us. He has saved us, so let him.
Yeah.
And I just thought, with family, birth, welcome home. We want to hear him say that to us.
I mean, I often, that analogy or that picture that you painted earlier on, Jess, about keeping it looking up and focusing on him rather than, you know, all the bumps and the cracks and the, you know, the hurdles that are in our path, which are, you know, is life. If we can just stop looking at every single step we take and just look up at him, then, you know, our path will be so much clearer. And I mean, that's very easily said than done. And I don't want that to sound like a romantic connotation of what life is like, because there are so many bumps and hurdles. But if we don't, I can guarantee that if we just increase the time that we would have in quiet contemplative prayer by 2 minutes, you know, if it's just 2 minutes of just putting everything else aside. I really admire your friend Liv, who has a Bible in the side of her car for the pickup line. But I know personally that if I don't get up and give our Lord the first, you know, half an hour.
Wow, you're good. So we've gone from 2 minutes to half an hour. I was thinking 2 minutes. That's half an hour.
Well, you know
good
what?
For you.
That's up at 5, aren't you?
Well, she said before the births.
Yeah. Well, you know, my latest thing has been getting up just as the daylight is just starting, you know, and the birds do start to sing as soon as the sun is coming up. And it's obviously not winter here, so it's not cold. But I've been getting up and putting on my my runners and going for a walk, and you can barely see. But you know, I can, it's without all of the distractions of the busyness of traffic and traffic in the house and demands from children, I'm not physically on my knees, but I try to start off with you know, the sign of the cross and a sigh of relief. God, you are here. And then I just start walking. And so my mind, you know, it, without trying to sort of set an agenda, I just feel so close to him. And I think that sometimes we try to fill every sort of waking second with noise and with an agenda. I mean, look, I say we collectively. That's not fair. That's me. That's me.
Oh, no, I hear you, girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
But there's something special about that where light hits the darkness. Like it's, he's there.
Yes, yes, yeah.
You know, where light is brought to dark places, to us.
Yes. He's right there. Beautiful. Yes. Look, there is, you know, and you can hear when you're not trying to, you know, when you just let him do the illuminating.
Heavy lifting, I've heard.
Yeah. Yes, you can hear. So, look, if I don't do it first thing in the morning, I just know I find it really hard to get back to it. And so I figure if I do it first thing in the morning, that morning offering, even if I do that first thing, if I roll over in bed at nighttime and I need to get up and go to the bathroom, you know, I try to make my morning offering then, because I figure at least I've done it, you know.
that 3 a.m.
That's time management.
On the 3 a.m. we.
Yeah. Oh, we're all doing the same thing, all of us.
Yes, we are. Especially with those that have had multiple children.
And just think of poor Mary. She didn't have a bathroom in that stable. I'd never thought about that.
Wow.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jess, I love what you said about, you know, the messiness and the humble state of that stable. Mm. And Christ, he chose to come to earth like that, and he wants us all. Like that's such a clear sign that he's not looking for
perfect,
you know,
perfection,
perfect people. Yeah, he just wants every one of us to come.
Well, he came into an imperfect world, to an imperfect place, and that's us. So we shouldn't be afraid to let him in.
No,
because he already knows what's in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why
I think Christmas too is such a really special time for people who have left the faith, just to find the magic of Christmas.
Yeah.
In the secular state, but you know, there's also, I mean, the world's not perfect at telling the true story, but it is out there. And those people who have lost their way a little bit, I think it's the perfect time to come back and give over to God again.
And
for us that haven't lost the faith but have sort of, you know, bumbled along the way.
And become complacent.
Oh, but I'm like you, Janet. I think if I say my morning offering and offer my day to him, if I don't say another prayer that entire day.
It's all good.
Quite often.
Yep.
At least I know I've given my day to him.
Yeah. But we're lucky at Christmas, because there are reminders everywhere of his goodness. Mm. And we've got a really good and kind God. And, you know, to think that he came at all is just, you know, you know, we should be all awestruck.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that I think a brand new baby, a really brand new baby, brings out in all of us. You know, it often makes us gasp if you see a little baby that's, you know, hours or days old, you know.
Yeah. Well, my daughter tagged me in a photo. You were tagged, Olivia. Did you see it? My daughter wants to be a midwife, and so she follows these, I don't know, midwife Instagram accounts or birthing Instagram accounts.
Yep.
And she tagged Olivia, myself, and somebody else, maybe Nana, in this photo of this woman who'd just given birth, and it was a water birth. But hanging over the tub were five different women.
Mm.
And every one of them had this amazing look of awe and joy.
Beautiful.
And it was when women come together, and I know I'm going on a tangent now.
It's miraculous. Absolutely. Yes.
And we experience that, and we have that ability to relate, I think, to the nativity more than men.
I think we're so blessed, because those of us who are mums, and of course that's not everyone, but, you know, we have had a moment of anticipating the birth of our babies and and not really knowing what's going to what we're about to experience or what's going it's going to be like on the other side. But we have such a there's a moment of anticipation. It's more than a moment because it lasts the second you know that you're expecting a baby. But you know, the anticipation of what it's like to, you know, that child is everything.
Mm.
Yeah. And can you imagine? We can't even imagine how Mary must have felt knowing the full responsibility of having to look after God.
Yeah. Oh, girls, that was a lovely conversation.
Yeah, so much happiness and joy.
I'll have to go and put some buble on and some bubbles.
Oh, yeah.
But before we go, Janet, you have to tell us something that brought you joy this week. If you haven't thought about it, we can go straight to me because I know mine.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Look, you know, I've been trying to practice in those early morning walks the gift of being grateful for little things. Mm. And so, you know, all week I've been seeing things differently, you know, and you only just have to start being thankful to being awakened as to how much there is to be grateful for. But I was out for a walk a couple of days ago and I was going up the driveway and it was just beginning to get light and these little birds flew down into this tree, and because of the way the light was and the sun was just starting to come up, it was just like a silhouette. It was like one of Liv's beautiful watercolours that she is so good at doing. But, the colour behind was just beautiful pink hues and it was just gorgeous. And there were these two little lovebirds, you know, tweeting away, and it was just it was just the most magical little scene. And I stopped and I ran back to get my phone so I could take a photo. But of course
they were gone.
They weren't gone, but you know, the image was a gift for me. And you know, it's not something that I could replicate to capture and show everyone else, but I guess more so than just the two little birds that were singing away on the branch, it's just been the ability to be able to be thankful and to realize that he is just pouring out his gifts to me, you know, abundantly. Everywhere abundantly.
If we look for them, we will see them.
Yes, that's right. Yeah,
Olivia.
Yeah.
Anyway, what about you?
Well, my joys this week, today it's my husband's 40th.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah. And, he's just, I'm just
he's a good man.
Yeah.
He's a great man.
Bless.
And then in 2 days' time, we celebrate our 17th wedding
anniversary. Oh, congratulations.
So, thank you. Yeah, so two joys this week. Yeah. So lots of celebrations.
That's lovely. Well, my joy is my Advent group, which only started last week. We've got the second one tonight, but last week, so we all share, and at the end we offer up a prayer. We ask for them to pray for something if we want to, and I'm not one to. I'm an introvert. I am. People think
I don't believe it.
I am, and I thought I've never shared a prayer with anyone ever, and I thought okay, and there's somebody in our community that has 12 children and tragically lost her husband 8 weeks ago. And I just asked them to pray for her because I had been there that day. And I just – and anyway, I asked – St. Vincent de Paul have given her a holiday and she wanted boogie boards. And I thought, well, I'll ask my prayer group if they could see if they wanted to buy them boogie boards. She didn't want about it because she'd never seen the ocean and all this. Anyway, I offered this to my group, who I don't really know. The response has been overwhelming. And one of them, who is a single mum herself, me $1,000 to give her.
Like, oh, wow.
The generosity of people. People want to be able to be useful and to be helpful. They just need to be given the opportunity.
Oh, that is so inspiring.
Yeah. Isn't that beautiful? Like, just
That is so beautiful.
I don't know this woman very well, and she definitely doesn't know the recipient. So she put her trust in me to, you know, I just thought,
wow,
you know.
Just
people
beautiful.
Are good. There is goodness. This is the
answer. Yes, yes. And let's recognize it. Let's see it for what it is. Yeah.
But the thing is, they're not always, they need to be given the opportunity to be good, I think.
Or
to show their goodness.
Or to show it. They're always good.
That's right.
To give an occasion.
Yeah.
To.
Anyway, that's my joy.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So much joy. I just thought, wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's beautiful. So encouraging.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, Janet, this week we're going to pray. Let's ask all our listeners to pray for the sale of Janet's house.
Oh, thank you. Yes, please. Yes, please. I know I've got that feeling of anticipation. It's about to happen.
Yes. He will never abandon you. In fact, he's right there.
Well, look, Ian has been offered the most wonderful job in the last couple of days.
Aww, and congratulations.
And Ian is going to be able to work out of Albury. So that's confirmation that we are going to the right place where God wants to use both of us.
Yeah.
And so we're going down there, and he doesn't do things in half measure. So
no.
I assume that he has got a buyer for our house.
Yeah. He does.
And I assume he's got a reason for making me wait.
Yeah. Yep. All right. He wants you to practice patience.
All right, girls. I'm going to have to wrap it up because we're coming on 50
lovely.
Minutes.
Oh, gosh. Sorry.
All right, no worries.
Yep. Okay.
Have a lovely Christmas, Janet.
You should never have asked me about Christmas.
Oh. I'm glad
Thank
I did.
You, Jess. Thank you, Jess. Bye, thank you, Liv. Bye-bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.